right. It is a privilege for me to be with you guys. Like Spot said, originally I am from Bloemfontein, yes. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I heard in the front there's someone from Bloemfontein, so she will agree that it's a good thing. But many people might... Sorry, I just want to get my timers going here. Many people might also consider me having a split personality at the moment because I live in Malkus and I'm a full-on surfer. So you can't imagine that those two can ever come together from Bloemfontein and Malkus, but look at what the Lord has done, eh? It is beautiful. So it's a privilege to be with you guys tonight. It's so lucky. My wife and I have been leading the Malkus congregation for a full month now. Nothing bad has happened yet. And so it's really going well. And we're enjoying it. But it's a privilege to lead the people of God. And I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. And to speak about worship, which is really one of my favorite topics. One thing I love corporate worship. Man, I want to say if there's anything that ever gets me excited, it is to worship with the people of God. And I really desire that tonight what I want to share with you is that it can stir a fire, stir a passion in us to come passionately when we worship together. There's something unique when as the people of God we can come together and bless Him extravagantly. No amens to that. That is okay. And we'll take it like that for now. And I want to say, when in Bloemfontein, I grew up, amazing parents, amazing family, grew up in a very traditional church. And up until the age that I got saved, around 15, 16, I don't think I've ever seen worship. I've heard songs sung every Sunday, but I've never seen worship. And there's been one Sunday, I can clearly remember it. There was a lady who raised her hand while we were singing a song. I honestly thought she had a question. Up until then, I've never seen someone do this in church. And I had this moment where I wanted to ask my dad, like, can't she just wait till we're like done before she wants to ask us? And it's sad that I've grew up in church, like, since I was this small, but I've never seen worship. And the trap for us is that we can, our picture is a little bit different. But I would hate that someone can be part of our church, and one pigeon is coming to visit us. But I would hate that guys can be part of our church and that they can say, man, anyway, all right, the Holy Spirit came like a dove. He'll take it. But I would hate that people would say, man, I've been part of a church. I've heard them sing songs, but I haven't heard worship. I want people that when they're with us, that there's passionate, extravagant worship that they can see come out of us. Amen? And so I remember I went to a camp that actually Christopher was one of the leaders when I was at school, and they had a camp in Bloemfontein called Pulse Camp. Some of you might have heard about it. And I went there staunch, like reformed, okay, like very reformed in my picture of church, okay. And I went there and it was absolute chaos, né? And I remember that one year there was actually two drum sets and like electric guitars and whatever. And I was ADHD. I was in heaven, okay. Like it was surreal. Like I could jump and I could get a lot of energy out, and I really frothed, okay. I was like, this is amazing. I want to be part of this. And but that weekend, more than what I've seen just musical skill and loud worship, something happened in my heart that I've never ever experienced before. A touching of Jesus and a reaching out to Jesus that I've never seen before in songs. Anybody with me here? It feels like I get a lot of blank stares now. And I remember my response at that stage, I wasn't quite sure what to do with this thing that is going inside of me. And as a 15-year-old boy trying to be buff and all like fit in with the cool guys, like, I remember just that it felt like that whole weekend I stood there and I cried my eyes out. Because the presence of the Lord just came and it touched me like I've never experienced it like that. And I got saved that weekend and gave my heart to the Lord. But I think it started by worship. And I want to say, like, in church, and some of you are like wishing I'm not going to say this now, but in church, for me, when with visitors coming, and I want to say this thing, I really desire that we can fill this side up a lot more. And even this one. Né? People we're trusting for and those who we see getting saved. And the cool thing is we often think, like, as preachers, we have the privilege mostly to pick the fruit of people coming here. We preach the message and there's a couple of hands go up and it's like, oh, it's amazing. You guys are the ones grafting often and inviting. And we, Spotty and I, or Rob, have the privilege to preach, and we pick the fruit. Who wants to get saved? Yes, I want to. It's like, that's amazing, okay? But I don't think it's in the preach where necessarily the hearts are always changed. I think one of the first areas is in the welcoming. With the visitor coming, and it's like, what is the first feeling when they have in here? Are they sitting alone there in the corner and no one cares? Or is there people welcoming them and loving them passionately? Okay, I think that is the first area where the Lord comes and touch people's hearts. The second, I believe, is in the way that we worship. All right? Because I've been to places where we speak about extravagant worship and speak about the greatness of God. But when we worship, I can very rarely see that it's a big God that we're worshiping. And I think sometimes unbelievers can come and they can look at us and say, they talk about a big God, but when they worship Him, it doesn't look like He's much bigger than their concerns. All right. But when we come and we extravagantly love on God and we really worship like we believe He's bigger than us and He's worthy of our praise, I think right there, visitors often decide, I want to follow this God in the way that we worship. All right. And sometimes as preachers, we have the privilege to just come and pick the fruit. But I think much of it has been started in how we adore God. All right. Thanks, Bob. And I pray that it will be said of us. And tonight, so I'm going to focus mostly on corporate worship, us worshiping together, not necessarily a lifestyle of worship. All this stuff is true. But I want to hammer this one for us when we're together, okay? And our danger is this, that in Josh Gen, globally, I think we have quite a culture of worship, of extravagant worship. I mean, I've seen people stage dive and whatever, okay? It can be pretty extravagant. But just because it's extravagant doesn't also mean it's like the real deal. All right. And in Malkus for a time, yes, we had a problem. Because in my eyes, we had a pretty good band and some quality worship leaders. All right. Putting myself in there. Not, okay. Anyway. And I thought the musical skill and what is coming from this side is amazing, but the people don't want to worship. All right. And I had this battle in my heart. Like, why does anybody want to worship? And I chatted to Mervis and he obviously corrected me on a few things, which was great. But one of the things he mentioned, he said, if the people struggle to worship, it's because their view of God has become small. And the cares of this world is increasing. And their view of God is this big. But when we see the glory of God, okay, everything changes. All right. And the glory of God, and I want to try and rush through some of my points here because there's some good stuff later on that I want to get to. But I think that we limited the glory of God to such something that it's not. Now, when we see, man, we've seen the glory of God. For some people, that meant I had 2 goosebumps and it was the best 2 seconds of my entire life. All right. I want to say the glory of God is so much more than that. In Isaiah, Isaiah was the only righteous guy in the whole nation. And he sees in a vision, he sees Jesus. And I wish I could read it to you, but in Isaiah 6, he says, then I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Okay, this is a picture of heaven. And he says, and I fell like a dead man at his feet and said, woe is me, for I am undone. The only righteous guy in the whole nation says, woe to me. When he really saw the glory of God, much more than the goosebump feeling for 2 seconds, much more than that moment that the drummer was really getting it right, much more than that, the glory of God is so much bigger, all right? And I want to stir you tonight that oftentimes I come and I'm like, especially, and I want to preach tonight as a worship leader, but also as a saint with you guys, okay? And sometimes it feels like I need to stir myself. Come on, we're going to worship God now and get yourself right and do it. But if I come and I try and produce something out of me and stir it up, it just feels like we never get there. All right. And I want to release you from that tonight. That it's like worship doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with your good intention. It doesn't start with your revelation. It starts with Jesus. All right. And Hebrews 13 verse 15. It says, on the board there, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. But it starts with through Jesus. Okay? Guys, and worship always starts with God, not with us. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no reason for us to be here. If it wasn't for Jesus, the band can come up, but we would just be making one loud noise and we can all actually go home. If it wasn't for Jesus. But through Jesus, therefore, we can continually offer up to Him a sacrifice of praise. And I don't know if any of you ever drove to church like, okay, you guys come in the evening, okay? Sometimes in the morning, it's a bit harder, it feels like, okay? Getting up at 6 o'clock and then I don't feel like much in me wants to worship the God passionately now, okay? But I don't know, Sunday afternoon can feel the same, okay? Have any of you ever driven to church and it's like, there's not a lot in me that extravagantly want to worship the Lord now? Any takers? All right. Now you are in good company. All right. I often feel like that. But the good news is I want to stir you. If you ever need a reason to come and worship the Lord passionately, I just want to stir you to see nail-pierced hands for you. Mercy for us. Andrew preached in Malchus this morning, and man, I would encourage you if you can go listen to it in the week. It'll be amazing. But he preached on the cross. And it's so simple. I mean, I think we've all heard that story a million times. But we sat there and it was like the presence of the Lord fell on us as we saw the mercy that God had for us, has for us. Okay? And if I ever needed a reason to respond in worship, I just need to see nail-pierced hands that died for me on the cross. Okay? I want to stir you. The next time that you feel not lust to worship or whatever is inside of you that doesn't feel like passionately coming, I want to stir you. Take 2 seconds and remind yourself of the cross and say, through Jesus, therefore, we can come and we can offer a sacrifice of praise. The point is, you cannot come through that door and expect, cool, that one is just going to be with us for a while. We can endure him, okay? But if we come through that door, but you haven't come through the door of mercy, okay? You're going to need a band up here who's going to have to stir you and riff you up and get the drums. There's not even drums. Get that djembe going that the guy's hands are bleeding, okay? And do something to say, okay, let's jump or let's shout because we need some entertainment to stir something in us to want to worship. But if we come through that door, but actually we already came through the door of mercy, we don't need entertainment up here to get us going anywhere. But there's a thankful heart that we can already come. It's like through Jesus, we can come this morning, right? And I want to stir you, especially in our culture where we've got a culture of passionate worship. Don't start to rely on these guys to open the door for you, right? Start with through Jesus, amen. Let me just see that I don't want to skip something. All right. The second part is one of my favorites. And you can put that verse up for me again in Hebrews, please. But it says then, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Okay. Now, I don't know if we really understand what it means. But I don't know if you got up this morning and say, I want to sacrifice something today. Okay? It's not a word I'm busy reading through the Old Testament now, okay? I don't often get up and say, I want to sacrifice something, okay? It is costly. Okay? A sacrifice, it's something that, it costs me something. It is something I give that is precious to me and I offer it to the Lord, okay? And he doesn't say, through Jesus, then let us continually offer up songs to him. Or let us continually offer up this to him. It says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. And sometimes the thing with sacrifice is we look at the elite Christians in church, the ones who would go the extra mile, and we look at them and say, it's well done. You guys are really giving it all, okay? You're here early practicing. You may be even coming together on a Thursday apart from community. It's well done. Sacrifice of praise. But I'm busy. I can't do that. All right. And there's something in worship that the Lord loves. A sacrifice attracts the presence of God. Where there's something that costs us to go further than just what is easy. And in Malachi, there's a story about the Israelites where the Lord actually rebukes them when it comes to sacrifice. And he says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. And if then I'm your father, where is my honor? This is God speaking, okay? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. Okay, this is, when the Lord starts speaking like this, you must get nervous, all right? And they say, but how have we despised your name? And it says, by offering polluted food on my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. And when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he not show favor to any of us, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, and that scripture, it's, the Lord says, guys, am I not worthy of a sacrifice of praise? And they say, yes. He says, but you've polluted my altar. And they ask him, how? He says, because you offered me cheap sacrifices. The ones that you anyway didn't want. The sheep that were blind and were lame. And you said, if they anyway can't be part of the herd, let's offer these to the Lord. It was cheap. And the Lord rebuked them for it. Okay. And I want to pull that down to us today. And hopefully, please, none of you, except if you want to bribe, you're not supposed to go out here and offer something to the Lord like a sheep, right? But I do think in our sacrifice of praise, we can also bring the Lord something that is just so cheap. Something that is so easy. And where the Lord is worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration, really worthy of a sacrifice. Sometimes we come in and it's just so cheap. And I want to ask you, what does a sacrifice of praise look like for you in corporate worship in church? And what does it look like when sometimes our worship really costs us nothing, but it is just so cheap? Pretty heavy, okay? And I think we can do that. I think sometimes we can even come together with the people of God and we worship. But even lifting my hands, it's just so easy. Everybody's doing it. And I want to stir us. I think the Lord, what he's want to ask of us, is I want a sacrifice of praise. Something that will cost you something. And this for me is a good example. In 2 Samuel 6, it speaks about David. Now, I just want to give you some context. But so David, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. And he went to fetch it. And they were bringing it back into the city, all right? And it says, it was told King David that the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. So David went and he brought up the Ark. So he's going to fetch it, okay? To the house of Obed-Edom, to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf. Okay, now I need you to picture this, all right? So they're carrying this thing and they're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Put it down, slaughter an ox and slaughter a fattened calf. Offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Pick it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Put it down, slaughter a fattened calf, slaughter an ox and offer a praise to the Lord. Walking like that to the city of David, all right? Now we can read that, but it says during the ceremony of transporting the ark, David sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf every 6 paces. It says, the journey may have been about 6 miles. If each step were approximately 2 feet, 6 paces would be 12 feet. And then it says, David could have stopped 2,640 times during the journey and offer up 2,640 oxen and 2,640 calves. All right? And it says, some scholars even estimate that the journey could have taken up to 9 months. All right. And the coolest thing of all is David didn't go and say, we're going to take these fattened calf and oxen out of the treasury of Israel. He says, I'm going to give mine, my own, because I want to offer something to the Lord that is precious. And then in 2 Samuel 24:24, it's a different story, but you can see David's heart here. He says, far be it from me to offer anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. Isn't that beautiful? Far be it from me to offer anything to God that cost me nothing. Oh, guys, may it please be said of us that far be it from us that we never brought God anything that really cost us nothing. Man, I wish I'd stir something in your heart, okay? You can see something about David here. He wasn't just a man that danced extravagantly, but there was a desire in him to please the Lord. To please the Lord. It cost him dearly, okay? 2,640 fattened calves. Took a while to get them fat, all right? It was precious. Can you imagine that bloody trial, okay? It was sacrifice, man. Can you imagine the guy carrying the thing? It's like, can we just go? Okay. But it was slow is fast here. Okay. There was something that they valued offering up to the Lord, something that cost them dearly, even time. All right. It's so worth it. So I want to stir us for us. What does the sacrifice look like for us today? And the first one that I want to stir us with is the sacrifice of self. All right? We in a time where worship became so self-absorbing, where everything is about me. And even the latest album that you can download basically every week, and worship can easily become about us. And I think we have gone so far from where it was, that it should come back to worship means it's about Him. Whether I get the goosebump feeling or not, was the Lord blessed by what I brought Him tonight? Okay? Whether we had an encounter or not, was Jesus smiling when we brought Him praise tonight? That is the way our question should be. Okay, and we should really come whenever we walk through those doors, say, God, I really pray that You would consume me tonight as a living sacrifice. I want to present myself to You. Romans 12 says, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Okay, what the Lord wants, if you ever want to bring the Lord a sacrifice, He wants you. He wants you. And in Malkmus at the moment, we're looking at revival. Oh man, yes, my heart is stirred. All right, I'm stirred for revival. I want it, okay? But one thing where it just keeps coming back is this prayer. Say, Lord, do it in me. Would You do it in me? I want it. I don't only want Him to change. Change me, God. Use me. I want to be consumed, okay? And I want to urge you in worship, even tonight, as we're going to come, would you stretch? I want to even say stretch yourself, but what does it look like for you to bring yourself as a sacrifice tonight? If lifting your hands is easy and you've been doing it all your life, ask the Lord, Lord, what will bless You tonight, okay? I unfortunately can't go into all the nitty-gritty of the ways how we can worship God, but there's so many ways. I want to say, if you've never shouted in worship, I don't think you've worshiped properly. Okay, there's something of when we lift up a shout together. God loves it. Okay, I wanna just prepare you. Heaven is not gonna be still and know. Okay, it's gonna be extravagant. It's gonna be passionate. There's gonna be shouting, and I wanna stir you. If you've never done that, and someone even makes a call, even if they don't, just lift up a shout to the Lord and say, "You are worthy, God. I bless You." All right, extravagantly, go for it. This one I don't really dig, but dancing, okay? Like, man, if the Lord ever want to stretch me, that is the one, okay? And but I want to show you there's something of when we really, if we truly believe that we can celebrate freedom in the Lord, we need to dance, man. Do it, okay? Another one of David's thing, he danced passionately, and this is not on my notes, but I do feel to just highlight this quickly, all right? I don't have the verses here, but just praying for this, I think sometimes in worship, things can get pretty wild, okay? And there might be a lot of questions, especially for the older folk, okay? I've had some pretty interesting chats with my parents regarding worship, like what is easy for you and what for me, and I'm not really a muso, so you like to sing and I don't, so I can just sit and, okay? And I don't think, I mean, it would be hard for me to see that in the Bible, okay? I can see a lot of ways of how God wants to be worshipped, yeah? But the challenge for us is oftentimes in worship, especially when it comes to dancing, sometimes you look at a person and you go like, lager. Okay, okay, great, great for you. It's not for me, okay? And we can go there, and sometimes we can even go to judge, all right? And I want to, guys, I did feel for us as a warning, okay? When David brought that ark in, when they finally arrived, it says that he worshipped passionately before the Lord. And his own wife looked at him and, lager, okay? And she judged him, all right? And it says that because she judged him, she became barren, all right? And I think there is something that if you judge someone in the way that they worship the Lord, if it's real, okay? And I know sometimes we get fake stuff, okay? I'm not speaking about that. But if there's someone who's really going for it and loving the Lord and we judge them, I think there can be spiritual barrenness that can creep in. And we can be here and we can actually never bear fruit. And I want to stir you tonight, if there is something that even you recognize, oh man, I've maybe judged either the worship leader or that one person that always goes for it, and me just never. And I want to urge you tonight, if that is you, would you just repent before the Lord and say, God, I'm so sorry, okay, but I never want to be spiritually barren. I want to be fruitful. All right? That's on, just on a side note. All right. The second one that I felt to highlight is a sacrifice of pain. I'm going to say it again, a sacrifice of pain. And the one thing I just felt to share is, like, sometimes you might look at some of the leaders in church or the worship guys or whatever, and it might seem just so easy for them to come and worship, okay? And I want to just from my point of view, and this is really not that you must feel sorry for me, for us or whatever, okay? It's really not that. But I want to let you into the loop, okay? I want to say, maybe not. Maybe it is not always as easy as you think, okay? I want to say, I've often walked through the doors of a church with something very heavy on my heart, and where there's not much in me that wants to celebrate the Lord. Okay? And those mornings are the ones where I have to fight and choose, and often in the pain and in the frustration, choose to bring the Lord a sacrifice of pain. And it hurts. I don't want to make it tonight as if it's not hurting, okay? It hurts. This can include death, okay? Depression, financial battles, divorce, all right? Whatever is inflicting pain and causing questions in your heart. Guys, the Lord wants to be worshipped in those moments, in the pain. And I thought to share a story with you, something that happened with our family recently. I've got two sisters, one older, one younger. And I'm really blessed with the family. It's with the family I have on my mom's side, from my grandparents down. I can't remember how many more, like 30 something, with all the cousins and everything included. Till the youngest one that can decide for themselves, all of us are saved. Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, I'm really blessed in the family that we're growing up. And I grew up with quite a missionary mindset, focused, okay? Always out there, let's go and change the world. So I stretched my parents a couple of times when I went to Russia, and like everything my parents always prayed for us to go. Whenever I wanted to win, I started touching a couple of nerves there. And then my little sister, when she finished school, now she's brilliant, okay? She finished with 98% on her matric finals, which is not too bad. I remember the days when I had that. And it's like, you've got the whole world in front of you. You can literally do whatever you want. Okay. She's got bursaries that she doesn't know what to do with. Okay. It is like the world is wide open. And she says, I want to give a year of my life to go and do missionary work. Okay. And that is where many people start like scratching their heads anyway. And so she did it. And there was questions about it and whatever. Went with the group, but they ended up being in Turkey. And part of what they had to do is they had to hike. And so they were a group of five. And I mean, I don't know how it happened, but it ended up that my sister was left alone. And someone picked her up and tried to rape her. All right. And she managed to escape, but she was molested in the process and deeply, deeply hurt emotionally. All right. And I want to say, like, even from a brother's side, but I think even more from my parents, you sit there, and I want to say, there's a lot of questions that come then. God, she was there for you. She went to do your will. Okay. She didn't go on a holiday trip. She went to minister. Okay. And I had questions. I mean, I was miffed about why they left her alone there. Okay? I wrote beautiful letters to the people and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that you're asking right there. And I remember walking through the doors of church on that Sunday, and there wasn't much in my heart that wanted to celebrate the Lord. I'll be very honest. All right. And what happened is she was alone, or she got to the group eventually, and it was 3 days before she could reach my parents and get hold of them. So for 3 days, she sat with this thing, deep emotional hurt. And I wish you could know my sister, like, she's a picture of innocence, okay? She's never dated a boy, never held a boy's hand. She is innocent, okay? And then this happens to her, all right? And for 3 days, she can't reach out to anyone, and she's stuck with this pain. All right. And by the time we eventually got hold of her, she fell into a deep depression with a lot of questions and a lot of fear. Can't sleep at night. Can't trust any man. Don't want to go anywhere. And eventually we decided we're going to fly her back. And she came and stayed with us for a night. And man, as a brother, I want to say, like, I was mad. I was upset. Okay. Like, I don't know if I can say I was upset at God, but you have a lot of questions. All right. And she went home. And then just by how heavy the situation was, and my parents and them weren't walking with someone, my mom fell into depression. All right? And now I'm here, and I keep getting phone calls from that side, and it is clear that this thing is going downhill. All right? And man, I want to tell you that my heart, there was a lot of stuff like, Lord, I don't understand this. She went for you, God. We're paying a great price here, but what is this, God? Why didn't you protect her? Why? And coming out of it, like we felt she was at home, and I called her. I said, sis, this is last year. And I said, I have faith that I really feel for you to come to the 412 conference, okay? But you need to realize any crowds and any men that she didn't know, it was a big thing in her heart. But she came, and we flew her down. We paid for her. She came, and she attended that conference. And I remember just being with her for that time. It's like I wrestled with the Lord, okay? And anything, and I have a big passion for nations, okay? I want to go. I've been to Russia many times, and I just want to go. But standing there, and we're speaking about going to the nations, there wasn't much in my heart that wanted to say, Lord, you're worthy of all the nations. You know, I'm really honest, okay? And I don't know if you were there last year, but the Thursday evening when Mervis led worship, we sang that song for the first time, All the Nations, They Will Come, holding broken chains above their heads, singing, We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And then that chorus, it says that Jesus, you're worth it all of every nation and every soul. And it felt like we sang it a million times that night, all right? And I stood there, and I'll be honest with you, it's like I tried to, and it's a cool song, but it was just so hard for me to do it. To really be honest with the Lord and say, you are worth it, okay? And we kept singing it. And I just remember that night weeping like I haven't wept in a long time. And I got to the point where I said, but you are, Lord. You're even worthy of Turkey, God. Even worthy of that place. And I worshiped till I believed it. And that night, I mean, and it's hard to explain now, but I believe that night for me, I think I sensed what it felt like to bring him a sacrifice of pain. And my sister that night, man, she had a time with the Lord that I just don't think you can put it into words. And I saw afterwards, and it was so classic. She said she never met Mervis before then, but she's like, was that Jesus that led worship? All right. But something shifted that night. And I want to say that my sister today is totally free. Really, the way that the Lord freed her, it's an absolute miracle. All right, she's part of the 412 Church in Bloom, passionately loving the Lord. On Tuesday, she's flying to Brazil on outreach. All right, and how within a year and a bit, the Lord really restored her that she's okay to go. I think my mom and my dad are like, okay, but they're worth it, okay. And for me, just when she said I want to go, and she's investing again her own money, and she's going, it was a sign of wow, look at what the Lord has done. All right. And so that is cool. And I've got friends who's in Brazil right now at the moment. And I just said, keep with you at all times, okay? But it's beautiful. And man, just what the Lord has done in our family with my mom, it came out a lot of stuff in my mom's past. And we were with my parents just before 412 this year. And I honestly, I don't know my parents. I don't know them. They changed for the better, incredibly. Like, what the Lord has done in a year is my mom is so soft. Like, my mom used to be quite prickly sometimes, okay? Like, we had an interesting friendship when I was at home, okay? But the Lord has softened her heart, and for my dad and for my older sister. And I was with my family for those 2 weeks, and I was just like, I cannot believe what the Lord has done. But there was a lot of pain involved, a lot of pain. And we can easily go to the place where we would just say, well, that is it. God said he's the protector. He didn't do it. I'm out. It was even for him. I invested my own money. Okay, and I know that this stuff that is happening, and this is not even happening to me. It's just part of my family, all right? This was a way harder journey for my sister. But I want to say tonight that I think to a degree, I understand that we don't always feel to stand here and celebrate. I understand that, all right? But guys, I want to stir us that we need to move through that, all right? Through the valley of the shadow of death. And really bring a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips. Say, God, you are worthy. You are the protector. You did keep her, God. All right? You did heal her. You did bring her through. All right? Whatever, but find that in the sacrifice of pain. And I just want to say that the Lord loves it. He's attracted to that. Man, if you ever want to attract the presence of God, bring him a sacrifice of pain. And I want to stir you. I think there might be many of you here tonight that there is something that is weighing heavy on your heart. And what I'm not asking tonight is I'm not asking you to ignore it. I'm not asking you to make as if it's not there. I even want to say, put it right there at the feet of Jesus and say, this is what is weighing on my heart. But Lord, I choose to bless you tonight like I've never done before. Amen. I'm going to finish with this. In Luke 17, and I pray that this will stir something in your hearts tonight, a story of the lepers. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. I love that. Don't you dig that? Okay. Today I want to stir you, even if you can't sing to save your life, man, I want to stir us. We're going to praise God in a loud voice. All right. And it says, and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And then it adds this, and it can sound pretty weird, but the Bible adds this. He says, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, and I love Jesus' response. Okay. It's like, were there not 10 of you and they were cleansed? It's like, where are the other 9? And so, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? All right. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And I just want to highlight a couple of things here. It's interesting, like Samaria at that stage, it was like a racial landmine. All right. People rather avoided it, walk extra miles to go around it. But Jesus said, I want to go through this. All right. And he gets there and it's leprosy. He meets this lepers, and leprosy, especially in those times, it was like a misunderstood disease. It was actually seen as a curse because there was no cure for it. And like body parts would just start falling off. All right. Now, can you imagine? These guys look terrific. Like one guy would be missing a nose. One guy would be missing fingers. And you can't touch someone because then they would get it. And it was seen as a curse from God. And what they would do with these guys is they would make them wear bells around their necks. All right. And chase them outside the city. And whenever they wanted to come close to someone, they had to shout, leper, unclean. Leper, unclean. Okay, it is a setup for disaster. If you ever want to have fear of man or anything like that, okay, it is a setup for disaster. And they come to Jesus like this, and the beautiful thing is, again, as a first point, is if you ever want, you need a reason for worship, is you need to see nail-pierced hands. And they just cried out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, would you have mercy on us? And then Jesus tells them, go and show yourselves to the priest, which is a terrible idea. Okay. The whole point is, it is the priest who chased them out. Okay. And he says, go and show yourself. And I want to say right there, that is where this doesn't make sense. Those guys must have had questions. Okay. Like many of us often do about our lives and what the Lord is doing. It's like, it didn't make sense, but they did it. All right. And wouldn't you have loved to be part of that journey? That as they are walking, okay, now please get this. This wasn't just a headache that went. Like, they were missing body parts. And as they were walking, it says that they were being cleansed. All right. Your nose. You've got a nose. All right. The one guy who never had a nose. Okay. And the other guys, high five. I could actually give you a high five with all 5 fingers. Okay. And they were being cleansed as they went. Nobody found that funny. I found it pretty funny. All right. But then one guy made the shift to a genuine revelation of Jesus. One guy, he made that shift. And the funny thing is, the other 9 didn't do anything wrong. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. Have you ever thought about that? He said, go and show yourself to the priest. They did it. They obeyed him. We're going and we show ourselves to the priest. Look at us. We are healed. That is amazing. Show themselves to the priest and they go on with their life. But that wasn't the point. One guy, and this is, man, if you forget everything about tonight, I want this thing to stick, okay? The point here is that it's not only about what Jesus can do for us, but that we must move from the place of what he can do to who he is. And one guy made the shift that it is not only about the one who cleansed me, but this is the Messiah. Right? guys, if we can move from the place of where what Jesus can do for us and we worship him for that, to worshiping him at the place for who he really is, that is what attracts the presence of the Lord. All right, thanking the Lord. And his response, it wasn't just a, hey, Jesus, I'm not very a really extrovert guy. I just want to say thank you. All right? No, man. The Bible says that he threw himself at this guy's feet and he worshiped him. And I want to stir us. Maybe the team can come up so long, the worship team. And I do feel that there's something of a, and my prayer for you as a congregation is, I just felt as I considered to you that there is so much more for us in corporate worship together. Now, I think I've been here once in worship and I can't remember much of that. But just praying for you, like, I really have a desire that there can be, that it can be said of Durbanville PM that they are extravagant worshipers. Extravagant, okay? Not reserved, not measured, not just musically inclined, not having to be stirred up, but extravagant in their love towards Jesus. Right, and especially in the time where it is painful. Oh, guys, may it be said of you that you are the ones who bring God a sacrifice of pain. I pray that for you, and some of you are hating me for that, okay? But I do pray that for you that you may get there. Because what it did in my heart, getting there, it shifted me forever. Okay? And I want to stir us that there's something. I just want to highlight the men, all right? For the men, I want to stir us. There is, sometimes we think our wives can worship on behalf of us, okay? For both of us. She's the passionate one. Let her go, okay? There's something about men coming and throwing themselves at the feet of Jesus in a loud voice, praising God. I think it's Ephesians or Philippians that says, I want men everywhere to lift holy hands. All right, guys, I want to stir us. There's something unique. And please, ladies, I definitely dig it when you worship, okay? But there's something about men coming and passionately worship the Lord. I want to stir you. Can we come tonight and not just what we're going to try and stir up and stir something that we're going to present to God, but we really start with God. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't even be here. All right, but because of Jesus and through Jesus tonight, we can come and we can bring you something that we want to bless your heart. And we want to make that shift tonight that we're not going to serve you and bless you to try and receive something, but we want to make that shift that it is really all about who you are and not what you only can do.